You're now tuned into the Pod Awful Channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flicks. Pod Awful. Net.
Hey dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Ah!
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Serbian podcast in all of Serbia. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason, Razorman, Cumulus Frisbee, Frizzman. How are you doing, Mr. Frisbee? Welcome to the show.
I'm feeling pretty good.
How do you do, Mr. Frisbee? Welcome, Mr. Frisbee.
Thanks, studio audience. I don't know about these people that we've invited in for our Ghoul Summer casts. This is really unusual.
These are just my friends. They like the show. They're fans of you.
I get that. They're fucking creeping me out. They're really weird.
They think you're really great. Here, let's go to my friend here. His name is Jacob. Hello, Jacob. How do you feel about Mr. Frisbee? Why are you such a big fan of his?
Frisbee, an incredible specimen. Done everything. Knows everything.
They're big fans of yours. They like you a great deal.
I mean, I can't get too offended by that. Like, those are pretty complimentary. I don't know how he knows that I've done everything and know everything.
Well, they listen to all the episodes.
Okay.
Let me ask these two other guys. Out of the two hosts here that we have on the show, guys, who's your favorite?
Cumulus Frisbee.
Cumulus Frisbee.
They both like you the best. These guys love you.
Where the fuck does that come from, that fucking nickname, Cumulus Frisbee?
Well, there was that one time, I think it was on like episode 23, you told us a story about how they used to call you Cumulus Frisbee. Here, I've got a clip of that.
Oh, Cumulus Frisbee, they call me.
That's you, that's what you said. You sounded different back then, but we had a clip.
I was way drunker back then, apparently. I don't remember that, but again, like, I didn't remember having a no fat chick sticker on my car.
Mm-hmm.
You remembered that.
Yeah.
I don't remember taking you to a Japanese noodle place, but you somehow remember that.
Yeah. We went to a Japanese noodle place, me and Jameson, who I think I may have ruined Jameson's life on Twitter the other day.
Sorry.
I told him about Unit 731, and his mom's Japanese, and I think it really bummed him out because he doesn't like human atrocities, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't really go in line with Ghoul Summer. We appreciate human atrocities this time of year.
That's true. But, you know, he's one of these guys. He takes a stance against those kinds of things specifically. So I think he got bummed out to learn about Unit 731, which is a thing I learned about last week on Junk Food Dinner. During World War II, these Japanese guys rounded up all the Russians and Chinese they could and just tortured the shit out of them.
Yeah.
So many of them. And I think I mentioned it to him, but then I told him not to Google it because it would ruin his day. And then I think he Googled it. Well, I think first he called his mom to ask his mom if she knew anything about it because he told me that his mom just said, quote, meh about it, which is probably the most ghoulish shit you could say about an atrocity. Maybe his mom's a secret ghoul.
Maybe. Could be ghoul in secret. Could be like one of the ghouls from They Live. You have to put on special shades.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure his mom's really nice. Had nothing to do with any of this, so she probably is like, meh. You know, it's probably like talking to any American citizens about any atrocities from like their home country. They probably feel like they're disassociated from it.
Probably.
But yeah, the Japanese war crimes of World War II, like, that's the most ghoulish shit ever, I think. The rape of Nanking also. Really bad.
I don't know about that. I'll have to wait until we talk about it on Junk Food Dinner to learn more about that.
Junk Food Dinner is now like a World War II history show?
Right. Basically, this week we're doing another episode or another movie about all the ways that the Russians tortured the Germans, I think. So that'll be fun, sort of. But back around to these noodles, when I was telling, in the midst of telling Jameson all about these atrocities, I let him know about the time you took me to a noodle place, and it was yucky because it was just noodles with shitty scrambled eggs on top and like some kind of weird ketchup that wasn't ketchup, like Japanese ketchup. And I just didn't care for it. Did not care for it, Mr. Frisbee. It was in New York. You don't remember it, but it sucked.
I don't remember this. I'll have to ask our old guest of the show, Warde, because she was there, I'm sure, right?
She was there. Phil was there.
Phil was there. Also, yeah. Previous guest of the show.
Yeah, it was
Japanese noodles with eggs on them, like scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Greasy scrambled eggs on noodles. Mm-hmm. Thick noodles or like small noodles? Ramen noodles?
I think they were thick.
Fuck. It sounds like udon, but I don't remember like scrambled eggs on anything. I remember the falafel, and I remember the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah.
I remember cupcakes. We ate cupcakes for days like we were fucking junkies.
Yeah, well, we went there right in the midst of that SNL sketch about the cupcakes.
Yeah, Magnolias.
Yeah.
That's the Lazy Sunday thing. They mentioned it.
Yeah, so we were very excited about getting those cupcakes, and they lived up to the hype of that song.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm not even a fan of cupcakes, but those were delicious foodstuffs.
Yeah, and it was pretty wild. Like, they had to, like, I guess they were doing real busy at the time because of the song, so they had to, like, usher you in. It was very much like the Soup Nazi episode of Seinfeld. Like, you had to, like, just go in quietly and wait in line, and then, like, the line would go around the cupcake display and then usher you back out, you know? Like, there was no loitering.
Yeah, yeah. And that line outside was, like, it was a 15-minute, 30-minute wait to get in there. But we had nothing to do that morning, so... But fuck, man, Japanese noodle place. We went to the hookah bar.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun. Fuck. Yes, I remember now. You're right. We did go to a Japanese noodle place, I believe. And I don't remember what you got, but I do recall that you were not a fan. I think I had some ramen or something.
Yeah, it was like kind of not a good trip for food for me. So we had that, and then I had to watch you guys eat that falafel. Like, just even watching people eat it kind of grossed me out. But we did have that good peanut butter and jelly place.
Yeah, it had like the Dayton sign in there, and everybody in the restaurant was from Dayton.
Yeah, yeah.
How fucked up that was.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, oh, look at that Dayton sign. And then like all the people on all the tables next to us were like, yeah, that Dayton sign's cool. We're from Dayton.
Yeah, and they were all attractive ladies. How about that?
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
Yeah, that peanut butter place is great. I went there one of the other times I went to New York since then, and still good.
I'm glad it's still there. I'm glad that sign's still there. I'm really disappointed that we did not keep in contact with each other, all those people.
Yeah.
that's a real bummer for me, because, again, they were all very cool. And from Dayton. And what else do you need? But hey... That's all really cool shit and not ghoul shit. So we need to actually get back on ghoulish stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about this ghoul stuff.
Yeah. Shitty food, for instance.
I mean, I just can't take any more Frisbee.
Yeah, I hear you, audience. God damn. Yeah, anything ghoulish happened in your life since we last talked? It's been we're recording this after another ghoul episode recording. And I just realized that we haven't actually talked to each other for a while. We had guest host Katie Rotson, Robo from Rotten Rantings, guest host. And I don't think we've talked since then.
That's
true. We just shout at each other at Twitter.
Yeah, we were both gone last week. We let those Rotten Rantings guys take over, and they did a fine job. I immediately after... inviting them to do the show, I was like, oh shit, like they're just gonna talk shit about us the whole time.
Is that what happened?
Have you listened to it?
No, not yet.
No, well, yeah, well, I'm very proud of them. They did not talk shit about us the whole time, as I expected them to, and immediately they had regrets about, but they talked shit about me about 20% of the time. That's fine. They didn't say anything about you, so it all worked out.
Well, yeah, I hope not. I mean, this audience seems to love me. I can't imagine anybody who hates me now.
Yeah, they like you just as much as the audience does.
In this very creepy sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you been up to? Anything ghoulish or not so ghoulish?
Well, I've been watching some ghoul movies for junk food dinner and just for pleasure. I took a screenshot of it. Maybe I'll put it on Instagram. Because I screenshot every funny thing that is texted to me, but I was talking on Facebook about how much I love the movie House on the Edge of the Park, and then my wife text messaged me to ask me why, and I explained it to her, and she seemed really upset. So there's that. But yeah, I haven't done too much ghoul stuff, I guess. Well, there was like just a rodeo in town that my paper was full of, and that rodeos are kind of ghoulish, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, anything where you have to like put animals on display for human pleasure, that's kind of weird. But this one especially, like the way they tie up and near castrate bulls for the sake of somebody just kind of riding around on top of one for however long it takes, that's kind of ghoulish. Whenever they have to hog tie like a runaway calf or something, that's ghoulish.
Yeah. They were saying that like generally the animals don't get hurt ever, but every once in a while there's an accident where they break a leg or a neck or something, and I don't know, like there's like this whole big thing about how like the animals are like trained. Like if you were to watch like a guy ride a bull, like the bull riding thing where they have to hang on for 8 seconds, like it definitely looks like a guy is on the back of that bull and the bull is treating it like if it were a tiger trying to eat it, and like that's why it's kicking it off. That's how it looks to the untrained eye. But these guys were swearing up and down that like they're just actually trained to do that, and like the bulls see it like it's exercise or something, and like they're not afraid, they just know to kick wildly, which I'm not sure if I buy, but it's real weird, like just tying up animals and chasing them for fun. It seems weird to me. It seems ghoulish.
Yeah, it's pretty ghoulish. Have you been to the rodeo, or is this just your paper reporting on it?
Yeah, they were just reporting on it. I haven't been. It's like apparently a big deal. It's been going on for like 110 years or something. It's like a huge deal in the rodeo world, like this one that we have here locally. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go next year or something just to see what it's about. But
right on. I don't have anything like that happening here. Did a lot of partying and stuff since we last spoke. I got to screen that movie that we did for the 48 Hour Film Fest.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
It was good. The first premiere actually was really fun and funny. But then the second showing, because we got in like the top 10 in like audience choice, that's kind of ghoulish because you're sitting around with a bunch of other filmmakers who knew what they were doing to some degree. Like this is the upper echelon of like audience picks and stuff. So there was like a couple of very funny films, and we were trying to be funny too. Like that was our genre that was assigned to us. But the first two screened, and they said that it was like in no particular order. They're probably the funniest fucking things in the entire set. Like the first one was this silent film that they were assigned a silent film, so they did it to make it look like a classic silent movie. That was really fucking good and funny. And the one that followed that was like my stepdad Zoltar, that really, I don't know. It's a couple of like teenagers who've been doing it for the past 3 years, and they just did such a fucking great job with it, and were so fucking funny that the remainder of the show, which is like 8 other films, kind of just had everybody questioning like, well, how do we get better than this now? And yeah, you just kind of, you're watching all these funny movies, but nobody's laughing. It was really weird.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, that was kind of ghoulish. Like, I just wanted to get out of there. Had a good time, like, afterwards and stuff, and talking about the stuff, but at the moment, it just felt like everybody was really exposed. Like, I've never done anything like that. Had a screening of a film where everybody's there kind of analyzing each other and wondering, like, you know, if they could do better and whatnot.
Yeah, and like everybody's there like under the guise of enjoying everybody else's movies, but if somebody's movie's too good, then you have to like kind of be like, ooh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, a little bit, but I was really impressed with those teens. I guess, well, they got best story, and we were up competing against them for that category. I'm glad they won. They did a really fucking great job with it. I would have liked to have won, but fuck it. They did a really kick-ass presentation.
Well, fuck those guys, you know?
They're pieces of shit.
Fuck them. They suck.
But America loves the young, and they eat the young, so enjoy that. enjoy your success while you can, kids, because America's going to tear you apart. Mm-hmm. It happened to all of us.
Yeah, you're not getting that Social Security money, you pieces of shit.
Fuck you. All right, so yeah. Other than that, got to do some, a lot of hanging out, partying and stuff. That was a lot of fun. Not really ghoulish on my end. I haven't done anything.
Did you do any work on your rear engine at all?
My rear engine?
Yeah, because I know what they call you.
Oh, rear engine frisbee.
Oh. I don't know where these... I don't know. These audience members know more about my past than I do. I think I'm kind of having amnesia or something, because I don't remember being called cumulus frisbee. I don't remember being called rear engine frisbee. I don't remember being called liquid projectile.
Propeller frisbee. Liquid propeller frisbee.
They used to call me old liquid propellant frisbee.
I don't know what that is.
It's your old
liquid propellant. What does that mean?
That's what they called you in high school.
Is that like some sort of masturbation joke?
No, that's just what they called you because of your skills.
With masturbating?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Well, let's get back to this movie. Let's ask one of the audience members. I know some of these audience members were actually in your audience for the movie. How did you guys feel about Frisbee's movie?
Impressed, Mr. Frisbee?
That sounds questioning. Are they asking me if that's how they should feel?
I think so. They're just so eager to get your approval that, you know, that they don't want to come out on, you know, they don't want to put themselves on a limb and say definitively.
I hope they're impressed. That's a good thing to say. Why question that? God, these fucking people are weird.
Mr. Frisbee, forgive me.
Okay.
I think they're nice people.
I did watch, oh, no, I watched that a while ago. Fucking E.G. the Killer.
Hmm.
And that's pretty ghoulish.
I never saw it. But it's one of those movies like Old Boy where it's like everybody on the internet like wants to tell you everything that happened. So I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, all the descriptions I read on the internet, it never actually covers all of it. There's too much shit that happens in that film. Now, there's some liquid propellant that happens in that movie that's really disgusting.
Yeah, is that Takashi Miike?
It is, yeah.
Nice, I like him.
All sorts of fluids flying in that. I did see Snowpiercer. That's kind of ghoulish.
Oh, the American one?
I did, yeah.
How did you like it?
It was okay. The first 20 minutes are kind of slow because you're basically like immersed in the lowest class section of this long train of the last survivors of Earth, like after this a global climate disaster. Like the world is frozen over, and there's this never-ending train that is like steam run, or it has like an engine, an impossible engine or something, and it keeps water reserves up by collecting all the ice and snow and melting that down from the tracks and whatnot. But there are class systems throughout the train, and like the last section is, it follows that group of people. And it's, I understand why they would have to be there for a long time, but it feels like for fucking ever. And, after that, it picks up like right away. So maybe if they'd cut like a bit of the beginning, cause you don't even get like a whole lot of exposition during that time. So it just takes a while. But there's a really fucking weird fight scene in there with battle axes and these hooded guys that look like creeps. And they take this dead fish around and paint their axes with its guts. Like they're just getting ready to fight and they're like dipping their axes into this gutted fish.
That sounds yucky.
It's pretty ghoulish.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. It was playing in Fresno for one day this week. Mm-hmm. And I missed it. But it's on VOD, so I'll probably get that. It's got that Captain America in it.
Mm-hmm. He's great. All the actors and actresses are great in it. Tilda Swinton fucking kicks ass.
She's good.
There's drug use in it. a pregnant lady gets shot. That's pretty ghoulish.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is.
Kids also die. Yeah. Okay.
Count me in. Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
I knew I'd sell you with that. But yeah, a lot of people dying, a lot of drug use. And it's just fucking weird that it takes place on a train. Like, it almost feels like one of those classic 1990 side scroller beat 'em ups, like Final Fight, if it was on a train. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
Yeah.
There's always a good train level in those. I just played the Ninja Turtles in Time video game. I downloaded it for my Xbox, and there's a good train level in that.
Turtles in Time is probably one of the top five arcade side-scroller beat-em-ups.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yep.
I think that the Xbox version has like a couple of levels missing, though. I'm pretty bummed out about that.
That's super strange. I haven't played that one for a while, but I remember playing a lot on like SNES and stuff. It might be like a mock-up of one of those in which they changed a bit. Although I don't even know if that was like an arcade cabinet before. I just remember it being really fun.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever in the actual arcade.
It just had that look to it, I guess.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about the Punisher side-scroller. And that one was strange because it was just two-player was the max. You could have, like, Nick Fury as the second player. And you could use guns sometimes, but other times you'd be using, like, a medieval battle axe as a weapon, like a dropped weapon. And even, like, a statue of a suit of armor, you'd be throwing that around at people.
That sounds sweet.
It looks pretty rad. That's cool that you're playing Turtles in Time, though. What else have you been trying out?
Well, I got that new Xbox, so I've been, like, I got, like, a huge hard drive, so I've been downloading a lot of things, and...
You got an X-Bone.
X-Bone. I got the X-Bone.
Really?
Well, it's a 360.
Oh, okay.
But I'm poor, you know. I can't go buy those new things.
No, I understand.
And, yeah, so I downloaded some things. I downloaded the trial version of the Magic the Gathering Xbox game because I'm thinking about buying it, but it's, like, it's one of those, like, shitty things. Like, you buy the game, but then you have to, like, keep spending money to get better and better cards, and that sounds shitty to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a fucking waste.
Yeah, so I downloaded that, and also I was, like, obsessed with Magic cards as a kid. Like, fucking
really?
Nuts obsessed. Yeah, like, crazy go nuts. And yeah, so I was like playing the tutorial and stuff, even though I remember all the goddamn rules because I was obsessed with it and I haven't played in like 20 years. But yeah, I don't know, I think if I like got the game I would like just never stop playing it, and it would probably be bad for me. So I don't know if I'm gonna get the real version, but that demo version's pretty all right.
Oh cool, I'm glad you're enjoying it, even though it does sound super nerdy. I didn't know you were into Magic the Gathering.
Dude, I loved it. Fucking loved it.
Did you play any tabletop RPG games?
Well, I played like D&D like 3 times or something.
Yeah, same here. It's been like, I could count them on my hand how many of those games I played. Those can get kind of ghoulish sometimes. In that same realm, I actually have been buying a couple of comics lately. There's a comic book store next to a Retrocade, and I'm not really into, like, Marvel or DC comic strips because those are all, like, issue 50 or 60 or something. And I can't get behind, like, you know, getting the trades or definitely not getting the individual volume, individual issues. But there's some small print stuff from Image that I was checking out. There's a series called Southern Bastards that just started up. That's pretty good. It's kind of ghoulish.
That sounds like Southern.
Sweet. Huh?
I'm into that.
Southern Gothic type ghoulish takes place in like a small Alabama community, like just a little over 100 people. But they've got this kind of local kingpin and a couple of addicts thrown in there, and this guy returns home. It looks like it's going to turn into Walking Tall or something. Like a guy gets this big stick and starts beating the shit out of everybody, out of all these rednecks. And I can get behind that. That's pretty awesome.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good, and it's so far it's been really good. It's the same artist who's doing Thor for Marvel right now. So this is kind of like and the writer's passion project, because they're both from the South. And so far, for what little time I've actually lived in the South, this is very familiar territory. Like, they're doing a lot of things right.
That sounds cool. Is it a lot like that Bernie movie? That's what I imagine. That's what I imagine all Southern crimes to be like, is that Bernie movie.
It's grittier than that, and a lot less funny. And Jack Black hasn't been in it yet.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, so it's not that cool.
I imagine all Southern crimes to be, like, really polite, you know? And, like, somebody effeminate is involved.
Oh, no. Oh, some dude got his head knocked over by a deep fryer basket in the first issue.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's pretty cool.
I picked up a comic recently, which is written by Mick Foley, the wrestler.
Yeah.
And it's about wrestling guys, but if they were real, and, like, if their characters were real life and they all lived together in the same city and, like, solved crimes and, like, did stuff.
Oh.
It's fucking nuts. There were four issues of it, and I only bought the first one because I was like, well, this might suck. You know, I'm not going to buy all of these. And I really regret that now because it's, like, so super awesome. It's, like Randy Orton is, like, some rich corporate guy who, like, kidnaps chicks, and Daniel Bryan, like, has to stop him, and he, like, writes yes all over his car to warn him that he's back in town. And, like, Christian plays the captain of the police squad for some reason. And Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger and Cesaro are, like, the other cops. And I don't know. It's, like, fucking nuts. It's so fucking stupid. I love it. It's so good.
This sounds pretty great. I'm glad that he's doing fan fiction for wrestling now that's getting published.
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't understand why somebody would hire him to write this. Like, CM Punk is, like, a vigilante who, like, takes out drug dealers and stuff. It's so weird.
Punisher? He does kind of look like Punisher. Slick back hair and everything.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. I never heard about this. I know that he was doing that Santa Claus movie for, like, the past year, and he's published books before, like Tietam Brown,
mm-hmm,
and those kids' books. And Tietam Brown was good. I mean,
I never read it, but I read his 30 autobiographies.
All 30 of them?
Yeah. They got pretty lame after a while. Like, the first one was, like, being born up until, like, winning the WWE championship in, you know, 1998.
That's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, pretty comprehensive. Then the next one was from, like, 1998 to 2003. Less comprehensive. And then, like, with each one that he wrote after that, I think he wrote, like, two or three more. Like, it's just, like, a year in his life. And it's like, come on. I don't, like, what are you doing? Like, I like you and stuff, but it's like, I could care less what the build-up to your TNA debut was like, really. Like, who gives a crap?
Yeah, at that point, you just start a blog, right?
Yeah. And
you just kind of keep up that way? Or even a Twitter account, which he has.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just published tweets. Maybe that's all it is.
It could be. That's probably what his next book will be.
Yeah. Life, 104 characters at a time. That's what it's going to be called.
Speaking of 104 characters, or 40, let's...
Oh, yeah, it's 140. Fuck it. I blew it, capiche?
Yeah, well, you know, you're bad at math. I mean, that's why they don't call you Old Archimedes Frisbee anymore.
Old Archimedes Frisbee, they called me.
What the fuck is... I never said that. I don't think I did, but I guess I did.
You said it. You said it.
Frisbee, you're the biggest liar I'd ever set by a stove.
Okay. I just am forgetful. This fucking audience is tearing me apart.
Well, you know, it's tough love. They love you, so they feel the right to criticize you. That's the way I feel with, like, the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie. I love it so much that I can admit that it's, like, a piece of shit, and it's boring and sucks.
Yeah, that last scene with Nancy's mom is... probably one of the funniest scenes ever.
Yeah, that whole fucking thing is so unintentionally funny. And, like, that scene before that where, like, Nancy's mom, like, Nancy goes into, like, her mom's room and, like, she lifts up the covers on the bed and it's, like, not her mom. It's, like, a plastic skeleton with glow sticks around it. That scene, come on, guys.
Johnny Depp death scene, probably one of the best scenes in cinema history.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's a good one.
Yeah. That blood geyser is amazing. I mean, it's obvious how they do it now, but still, like, when you watch it, it just looks good.
Yeah, and it's especially obvious considering, like, a half an hour earlier in the movie, they used that same upside-down room for a different kill scene.
Yeah.
You know, Wes Craven likes to get his money's worth on those upside-down rooms.
I guess gets a lot of mileage out of those. I mean, you got to use it again, right?
Yeah, but it's a good scene. I like that scene. Mm-hmm. Love that movie that sucks bad. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, speaking of Wes Craven, we figured for Ghoul Summer's still in effect here and elsewhere in the podcast world, you know, I figured we could take like one of our favorite ghoul movies and recast it with new people, like as if we were going to remake it, like who we would want to put in these roles. And, yeah. You know, it seems fun. Things could get a little bit more ghoulish or slightly less ghoulish if you can't take it anymore. These ghoul stuffs. So the movie I picked is a movie I just watched the other night, House on the Edge of the Park. It was directed by Ruggero Deodato. And he also did Cannibal Holocaust, which is another ghoul movie that I haven't watched yet, but I have to watch this week for Junk Food Dinner.
Did he do this after Cannibal Holocaust?
This is after Cannibal Holocaust.
I did. I talked about Cannibal Holocaust at a friend's party with said friend's mom, who was also at the party.
How did she feel about it? Did she want to see it after you told her about it?
Yeah, because she knew exactly who I was talking about when I mentioned. Well, she had actually seen it. She was the one who was trying to describe it at first. She's like, they kill some animals in it, and I can't remember. I mean, I think like people get eaten. But I don't know why it was in the title. I'm like, are you talking about Cannibal Holocaust? She's like, yeah, that's the one. And then I mentioned that the professor in that movie is a guy who did a lot of porn in the 70s.
Nice. And
we talked about porn for a while.
Man, nice. This sounds like the coolest mom in the world.
She's pretty hip.
Was she pretty foxy?
She's hip. She's cool. She's 45. Wasn't that Bruce McCullough sketch?
Yeah. So you're saying she looks like Bruce McCullough?
Yeah, specifically from that sketch. Oh. A lot of forehead, a lot of gray hair.
Oh, that's rough.
No, she was cool. I wasn't into dating moms, but I'm sure somebody would. She's got a great movie knowledge and porn actor knowledge.
That's nice. That's what you got to look for in an old mom that you want to date.
Yep.
I'm into that. I like her. Tell her I like her.
I will. I'll pass it on. Watch out, Parker Bowman's wife. You've got competition.
Sounds like there's a lady out there who will embrace a guy who wants to watch Ruggero Deodato movies.
So anyway, this was done after Cannibal Holocaust.
Yes. And more importantly, it was done after Wes Craven's Last House on the Left, because this is kind of, I don't want to say a remake of this movie, but it's very similar in title and in the fact that David Hess is in them both. Yeah, very creepy guy. David Hess and his bro, I forget his name, they infiltrate a party. They're like working class, like slob dudes. They work in like an auto shop, and they like disco, and they like raping people. That's all we know about those guys. And then they infiltrate this party thrown by like real rich people, very androgynous 70s, early 80s people. Who live by Central Park in New York. They're very rich. And then a lot of horrible ghoul shit happens. A lot of taking out razor blades and cutting girls on their boobs. A lot of making girls do things against their will. A lot of hurting men. There's a scene where David Hess throws a guy in a pool and then proceeds to pee on that man right in his face. And so on and such. A lot of beating people up, tying them up, hitting them. And so I think this movie would be better if the sidekick, like he's a little less into this ghoul stuff than David Hess. Like he just kind of wants to find love, you know.
And that's fucking weird to be friends with David Hess and your main goal is to want to find love.
Yeah, it also makes it like a lot more like it kind of makes him even more ghoulish because his whole thing is he wants to find love even though he's like abusing women and stuff. So it kind of makes him more grotesque than David Hess, who is not trying to find love. He just likes the abuse. But
okay, he knows what he's about, but this other guy has kind of warped his view on it. Like he's hitting women and he's like, why can't I find love?
Yeah. He's he's one of those nice guys. He's one of those friend zoned guys.
So he has like a fedora and like a big double chin with a giant like goatee on it.
Mm-hmm. He carries around a cartoon pony stuffed animal with him.
Cool.
Calls women bitches all day and then goes, why don't these bitches like nice guys?
Okay. I've seen his, yeah, he probably has a Cupid profile.
He's on the internet. He's out there. So I would get, for that guy, I would get Abed from Community to play him.
Okay, the sidekick is Abed.
Sidekick would be Abed from Community.
From Community specifically.
Yeah, well, it would be that actor, but playing, basically just playing Abed again. Because, you know, I would like his sort of Asperger's detachment while doing all this kind of stuff, and then also, like, just throwing out references to Harrison Ford movies from time to time. So I think that would be ghoulish. David Hess in this plays, like, a real terrible creep who, like, hurts people and then laughs about it, like, really loud. If you've listened to Junk Food Dinner in the last, like, year or something, we sometimes play David Hess drops where he laughs real loud. It's, like, a real jovial, like, he's having a real good time hurting people. And he makes a lot of jokes. He's, like, real content with, like, just being, like, real happy-go-lucky about hurting people. And so I think that Weird Al would be a good role, or would be good in this role, because Weird Al... Joe, huh?
Hess?
Yeah.
This one?
As David Hess. Like, just imagine, like, Weird Al, as we all know and love, but, like, imagine him, like, doing ghoulish, horrible shit. Like, I think that would make it so much worse, you know? He's wearing that Acapulco shirt. He's got the, you know, doing whatever he's doing, wearing those pajama pants.
And Weird Al today has a much creepier face than Weird Al did, like, during UHF. I think the loss of the mustache is kind of contributing to that.
Yeah.
Like, when he's happy, I'm sure he's, like, a really great guy. Like, I've seen him interviewed and stuff when he's not on. But when he's on, like, in that tacky video that they just did,
mm-hmm.
the 8 days, 8 videos, he's really creepy looking.
Yeah, and imagine him, like, he comes in that tacky video, and he's, like, doing this thing where he walks around, like, you know, and he brings his knees up to his chest, and he's kind of got his hands out. Like, imagine him walking around like that, threatening to hurt people.
With a razor in one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I don't like that visual.
I think he could get real creepy. And imagine him, one great line in that movie is when David Hess, as we have the drop on Junk Food Dinner, I should have gotten it to help explain for this show, but a great line in that is when David Hess he yells, "Shut up, you twat!" And imagine Weird Al saying that. It would take on this whole nother level of creepiness because Weird Al's such a nice guy.
Yeah, that's gross.
I know, right? This would be the best movie ever. I'm going to try to get a Kickstarter going.
I'm sure it'll make some money, all from anonymous donations. Let's face it. Aside from yourself, there's going to be a lot of creeps who like that movie. I've never seen it before, but every time you've talked about it, it just sounds horrible. It's like when you talk about WTF with Marc Maron, like, I've got no interest in listening to that show. It sounds like the way you describe it is just sounds like the worst. Like, even the best episodes of that show just sound grotesque. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this falls in league with that. I don't really want to deal with this movie. In the same way, I don't want to deal with Serbian film. Yeah, so I hope you get it recast, because there's Abed and Weird Al Yankovic as a couple of happy-go-lucky rapists. I don't know. That's something else.
It would be creepy. I think it would make a lot of money at the box office. I talked, I think it's like a legitimately creepy good movie, and I talked Katie into doing it on the Rotten Ranting, so they'll be doing it soon. So hopefully they agree that it's creepy and gross and good.
Well, yeah, good luck, Katie and Robo. I love you guys. you'll need some comfort after that.
That's true. Yolo likes those European horror movies. I think he'll dig it. And then the partiers. There's like five partygoers that are getting harassed this whole time. And for those people, I would go with the cast of American Hustle, like sort of in those same clothes because it was the same time period. Because I found those characters kind of lame and insufferable, and I would like to watch them get hurt.
Okay.
And also, that, like, just physically and visually, they look like they fit the part, because this is, like, the same time period, same kind of people, rich people from the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
So that's my movie.
That's a really good pick. I want nothing to do with it. Yeah.
Would you say you're reluctant to watch it?
Yeah, so you've got a success on your hands.
The reluctant gentleman with the sizable mouth is Mr. Frisbee.
With the sizable mouth?
Yeah. you know.
Depends of, I don't know.
Well, you're a reluctant gentleman. Just take that part away from that audience member. You're very reluctant.
Okay. My movie is the ghoul movie that we discussed on Rotten Rantings, actually, almost a year ago. It's called August Underground. It was one of those cult ghoul films that people kind of whispered about. This is after Blair Witch Project. But it was one of those things where it's like a found footage thing. Really no discernible plot line to it. It just looks like a cameraman who you never see. You just hear the guy's voice. And his... looks like a pop punk loving buddy of his just cruise around this what looks like one of like a dying town in Ohio, just looking for trouble. And it starts off in the most horrendous way, where they've got a young woman tied to a chair in the basement, and they basically film themselves torturing her. They go out and they cause more havoc. They do some boring shit at a at a miniature train station, like a toy train outpost. And they do more boring shit at a graveyard. And then they kidnap a couple of dudes and bring them back to the basement. Or it's a young couple, right?
Yeah. I think, yeah. Or... there's that couple, the man and the woman that they get at the convenience store.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all kind of a blur.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, they hang out with some prostitutes. They do some drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and they bring the prostitutes down to the basement. That's what it is. Oh, but they also, like... they get tattoos, right? Or they kill a tattoo artist? I'm doing a really piss-poor job of this.
Well, it's not a very good movie. It's not very memorable. Yeah, I think there's, like, just a whole part where they, like, just get tattoos and they film it. Or, yeah, and maybe they do kill the tattoo artist.
Yeah, they do. I'm looking at it right now. Main dude, Peter, who's on camera, gets a tattoo. And then the Peter kidnaps the tattoo artist and the tattoo artist's brother. And they also kill a couple of people at a convenience store before that. But anyway, the recasting of Peter, I imagined, and this is dream casting, you can't really do this now, I imagine would be Chris Farley, because Peter's kind of a heavyset dude. And I think Chris Farley would kind of bring a comical aspect to it. Like, everything he does could have been an accident instead, except for the girl tied in the basement. So I guess maybe not so much. But at least it's Chris Farley, and it would be jarring, because he could be screaming and all this stuff, and he has that Chris Farley scream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about somebody who would be alive today that could pull that off, because there's not a lot of, like, heavyset actors. Because the main actor, like Peter, he looks like a pretty heavyset pop-punk dude.
You can say fat.
Yeah. Oh, we could do, what's his face from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Guy Fieri.
Yeah, we could get Guy Fieri instead, because he's also got spiked hair and is a fat dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd have his glasses on backwards, and that's kind of ghoulish. It's not really that ghoulish, but yeah.
In the context of torturing somebody, it kind of is.
Yeah, and then whenever he's, like, torturing somebody, he'd describe it really vaguely, like he does with food. Like, I'm torturing so well right now. Like, I'm cutting you in these nice lengthwise patterns. He's not very good at description, is what I'm trying to say. And I had, like, the guy working the camera, because he's got an annoying laugh. I had that as Joe Lotruglio from now Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But also from The State. And I was specifically thinking he would be, this version would be the same kind of guy from Wet Hot American Summer. The guy who's driving the van, mm-hmm. or navigating the van, rather. Do you remember that?
That guy's good. I love him. He's probably my favorite character.
So the guy who works the camera in August Underground is really annoying, and so is that character in that movie, intentionally. So I think it'd bring a lot to this remake of August Underground. The first girl in this movie, I mean, it's a really misogynist film. I mean, it's a really gross film, ghoulish film. So it's not just misogynist. It's shitty all around. She looks kind of like Amanda Palmer, and I think that'd probably be interesting. I think it's something that she'd be into. Amanda Palmer from Dresden Dolls.
I don't know very much about that. I know that when we were in college, everybody liked them.
Yeah. Anyway, she looks like the first victim in this movie.
I will Google it.
Okay.
At some point, not now.
And I didn't have like much planned for all the victims, but they pick up this hitchhiker at the beginning. And I figured she could be the actress in that movie, Tammy. Who is that? You know her name.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah.
I'm in. I want to watch this movie now. If she's going to get tortured, I'll watch the movie.
Yeah, yeah. The first hitchhiker, I think they could probably, hire Melissa McCarthy for. And that's my recasting for this one.
Nice. I like it. I think the audience members like it.
Well, that's very interesting, Frisbee.
Okay. Thanks. This was really uncomfortable to revisit these films. Obviously, I lost a lot of August Underground. But looking over the plot again, it was really bad. Really gross film.
Yeah, it's bad.
So hopefully this recasting would help it out.
Yeah.
Guy Fieri, Joe Latruglio, fucking up a small Ohio town.
I would see it. I'm in. Count me in.
All right. You got it, you creep.
I think I would see it. How about audience members? Would you guys go see this new August Underground?
In a word, Mr. Frisbee, no.
Oh, they're not into it.
Well, I'm warming up to these people now. They seem less creepy that they don't want to see a remake of August Underground.
I thought that would endear them to you.
Yes.
Speaking of Guy Fieri, I might go to that guy. He just opened a restaurant in Las Vegas, and I'm going to be there in a week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think I might go. I myself, truth be known, I've only watched that show that he does like one time, but so I'm not too into him. But I know that the kissing contests and the illogical contraptions are real into him, so maybe there's something into him out there. Maybe I got to go check him out and eat some of his weird-ass tacos that he's got.
I know he's done some kitchen work. So I'm confident he has a working knowledge of stuff, but it's again like when I've seen his show a couple of times, like unintentionally, and it's just some of the lamest stuff, man. Like he when he's describing stuff, they show what goes on the burger and or whatever food item he's about to eat, and he takes a bite of, you know, whatever it is. And his suggestions are always, like, salty. You got a lot of salty goodness in there. It's sweet. So you got the sweetness in there, really undercutting the salt. And then you finish it off with that nice, nice toast flavor. It's got a nice flavor. And it's like, that's all you could think of, man. Like, I mean, I know I'm kind of spoiled on Anthony Bourdain, who's, a published author. Mm-hmm. And even, like, some of the cooking shows, or it's like, I don't know, like Paula Deen or something. Like even she's got, when she's not being horribly racist, she's got really good descriptions for stuff. So this guy is just like paid to go around and say that stuff tastes salty or sweet. And that kind of bums me out. Because like, all he did was bleach his hair and spike it and like, give this man a TV show. He's not saying anything. I don't care. People love looking at him. And I guess that they're right. So what do you think you're going to eat off the menu?
I don't know. I'm going to check it out.
Would you have the Los Nachos del Jefe?
Could be, if that's part of it. Yeah, well, not if there's sour cream.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be sour cream on everything, but you have to ask for it without...
That's yucky.
How about the off the hook original Smash Burger? I'm sure that's the Smash Mouth Burger because they look like kindred spirits.
That's true. Maybe I'll get that. I know a lot of his food has like real dopey names, like the We're Kicking It Salad and like the
Mayor of Flavor Town Burger. That sounds like you.
The Turn Down for What Tacos and shit.
There's the Triple B Burger. That could be like a Triple H theme.
Oh, I like that.
It's probably not though.
No.
How about the Tatted Up Turkey Burger? I think they give that burger a tattoo before they feed it to you.
Yeah, I might get that because I've got tattoos, so I think...
This burger is a work of art, like guy's tattoos, so...
Oh, nice.
Oh, there's donkey sauce on it. Doesn't that sound good?
No. In a word, Mr. Frisbee, no.
It's served on an, quote, awesome pretzel, end quote, bun.
Oh, that sounds good, though.
I think they're lying.
They could be.
It's probably like a shitty pita bun.
Probably. Guy Fieri. He's like from San Francisco, I think.
Doesn't sound like it. This sounds like nothing like people from San Francisco. His name isn't Kevin. He doesn't skateboard. I don't know who to trust.
Well, I'm not sure, but either way, he comes down to where my newspaper's town a lot, which is like an hour away from San Francisco south.
And he ruins everyone's day?
Kind of. Like, he's kind of a dickhead. It seems like they just now, like last week or something, they did an episode for the show that will air at some point at this restaurant in my town. Not my town, but the town I work in, which is farther away. And it's like some little like mom and pop place that has been there forever. And they did the episode and one. I guess Guy Fieri has like some good car, like some Camaro or something like that he drives. It's like his car and people know who he is and whatever. And they parked that outside while shooting, although they wouldn't let the public in to the shoot, which seems like a real dickhead move. And then according to the article we ran in our paper, which was like, you know, we didn't interview Guy Fieri, but we interviewed like the people afterwards, you know, who like own the place. And all the people kept saying that Guy Fieri and his handlers would just tell them over and over, like in between like takes, like, oh, after this airs, your life is going to change. You know, we're going to change your whole life. We're going to make your life better and all this. And that sounds like some real dickhead shit.
Yeah.
He sounds like a real asshole, but.
I've never made that promise to anyone. Like, even when I was teaching, I'm like, listen, I don't know if it's going to get better after this. Like, it might just be the same shit. So be prepared for that. Your life is probably going to still suck.
Well, that's the pitch I made to you before our pool party episode one. I was like, come on, just do the podcast. Your life will change forever. It's going to get so much better.
This is really a dickhead thing to say, man.
Well, it worked. Now you're talking about horrible torture movies. Your life's so much better now.
Yeah, I had to think about that this week. I'm like, well, let's get writing. Let's get prepared for recasting August Underground.
Yeah, see? Now your life's better. Your head's in the clouds. That's why they call you old Cumulus Frisbee, you know.
Cumulus Frisbee. Cumulus Frisbee.
Fucking audience.
That's where you get that nickname. That's a good one.
These people. I love them and then I hate them. I don't know. This is worse than Robo John Brown.
By worse you mean better.
Because Robo John Brown never accosted me by name. He would just jump in with other shit. These people like have all my nicknames. Nicknames I didn't even have. They're giving to me.
Mr. Frisbee, forgive me. Yeah.
Okay. Forgiven.
Nice. See? They're forgiven.
I don't like it, but they're forgiven.
Yeah, so I might go to... I think I'm going to go to the Guy Fieri place, although there's a lot of like other really good food. I think at one point...
Better bring in your life savings, though, because the Motley Q sandwich, that's a barbecue sandwich, that's based off of Motley Crue, that's $17.
Ugh.
Yeah. And also Victor's Street Tacos also sounds appealing, $16.
$16 for tacos?
Street tacos, bruh.
Man.
You can get those for like $8, bruh.
Man, I could go down the street right now to the taco truck and get like 8 tacos for $4.
Yeah. Guy Fieri doesn't want that.
Guy Fieri sounds like a piece of shit. I don't know if I want to go to this place after all.
Yeah.
But it's Las Vegas. Anything you eat is going to be $8 fucking million, so.
Las Vegas, Nevada. You got it.
And my wife, last time we went to the Bellagio Buffet, which is like some like crazy fancy shit that like makes me uncomfortable. But it's like $90 a person, and you get like all this, like they come out and like feed you live sharks and bullshit. So I think the wife's going to make me do that again. So if she's going to make me eat live sharks for that much money, then I can eat some $20 tacos, I guess.
Oh, tit for tat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turnaround's fair play. We went to the fanciest place. Now prepare to go to the real fanciest place.
Mm-hmm. Put on your shirt with flames on it, baby. We're going out.
I hope you like to eat a, quote, awesome, end quote, restaurant.
Well, do we have anything else to do?
Yeah, we got an email.
Let's read an email.
We can get our emails at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. I'm sure to write in whenever you get a chance, like this fellow did. This is Jameson, who we frequently talk to on Twitter and IRL. And he writes in saying, "Hi, Jason and Parker. Episode 168 was probably one of my favorites, if not all-time favorite PPR episode, except for one thing. Who the fuck do you think you are?" And there's a interrobang at the end of that. Parker said, "Bill Murray's life seems sad now. It's really sad. And you two got on to describe all the reasons you think Bill Murray has a sad life, crashing frat parties in Southern Carolina and whatnot." We did talk about that, mm-hmm. and it does seem sad.
That's true. Also, he was in that FDR movie that didn't have werewolves in it, and that's sad.
And he had a sad hand job in that movie.
I didn't know.
I watched that movie with a family member. It was really uncomfortable.
Sounds like you had to go to my family member whack-off room for my old boy torture room.
Hello. This sounds... Oh, yeah, yeah, from the last episode.
Yeah.
I thought this was an actual thing that you had at your family reunions.
No.
This sounds disturbing.
From the last episode we recorded last week. It was so long ago, you probably don't remember.
Yeah. I forget a lot, apparently. But anyway, have you ever been to a frat party in South Carolina? Jameson continues. I have, because he's done everything, much like myself, and experienced everything, much like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about it. There was a hot tub, a swimming pool, dozens of shirtless dudes, and lots of booze. There were pecs and abs all over the place. Do you know what emotion I was experiencing at that party? Well, it wasn't sad. And I don't know Bill Murray personally, but I assume his life consists of reminiscing about all the fantastic characters he's played both during the golden age of SNL and in film. And the reason he can pull off a bit like walking into someone's house and drinking their milk is because everyone knows who he is and thinks he's amazing. Well, that party doesn't sound like parties that I'm used to. I don't go to shirtless dude parties, but I can imagine where that would be entertaining, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, a lot of hunks walking around,
mm-hmm.
lots of booze in a hot tub. I've been to hot tub and swimming pool parties. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have not. I went to a frat party, though, one time when I was in college, and it was, like, really weird.
Yeah, I mean, the house that I went to was kind of like Animal House, which isn't a Bill Murray movie, by the way. Hmm. That's a John Belushi movie. Leagues better, I would say, than anything Bill Murray's done. So, yeah, the Animal House party that I went to was pretty fucking cool. Standard stuff like beer pong, funny dudes. No one took their shirt off. I think there were some girls in bikini tops or something.
Nice.
Yeah. And they made out on the dance floor.
I know, that sounds a little fantastic. I don't know if I believe that.
Frisbee, you're the biggest liar I'd ever set by a stove.
All right. I can't really say anything to that.
You're just making this up now. That didn't happen.
And there was a horse there, and Guy Fieri showed up, and he said he's going to change our lives forever. And boy, was he ever right.
Impressed, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, I'm impressed. It was impressive. I liked, I don't know. I mean, Bill Murray, we really want to touch on Bill Murray again, because, like, I like some of his stuff. I like it better when he's... Like, now he's doing roles that, where if he's just kind of in the movie for about 3 minutes, that's fine. That's great. But Yeah, the FDR movie didn't really cut it. Like, I didn't want to see FDR getting a hand job. I didn't know it was going to be a thing. And it was a long hand job. Like, the guy was paralyzed, so I guess that was kind of true to, you know, fact, I guess.
Took him a long time to come. But when he did come, he came hard.
Creepy.
That's the tagline of the movie. I was just reading the poster. Just looking at that.
Yeah, it's a real grindhouse film. Mm-hmm. Like, David Hess is in it. It's
yeah. Creepy. They also say that on his memorial. If you go to Washington, D.C., it says FDR. He was president during World War II, and it took him a long time to come, but when he came hard. That's what
it's
the...
It's all caps, and there's like 15 R's.
He came hard, America.
God, that's creepy. But, yeah, like, this Bill Murray shit where he's just kind of popping into people's... Like, giving like bachelor party toasts and stuff. I mean, it's all just a bunch of white dudes. I mean, what, it doesn't seem that interesting. Like, this is what he does. He just kind of floats around, basically putting his appearance as a stamp on parties that are already happening. It's like, well, I showed up, so now you can talk about this afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Put me on your Instagram.
Right.
I'll get you some likes. How about this, Bill Murray? How about get out of the frat house, go make a funny movie for the first time in 20 years, you piece of crap?
Yeah, and do some cool shit again. Like, I'm sure he does cool shit, but I never hear about it. Like, it's just kind of popping up in this party atmosphere where rich people are already hanging out. Like, I don't really give a shit about that.
Yeah, it's not like he's starting the party. If he went into some bar, started the party, I think that would be pretty cool, but these are already existing parties.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody can join a party.
Like, if he helped out with a kid's bar mitzvah, or if he showed up at that frat party that I was talking about earlier, where Guy Fieri was,
mm-hmm.
if it was Bill Murray instead of Guy Fieri, that would have been, like, yeah, hella cool. Because he's at the Animal House. It's better, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, Southern Carolina, Southern gentleman dudes.
Yeah. Also, the stuff that Jameson was talking, where Bill Murray's from the golden age of SNL, no, because Chevy Chase left after the first season, and that was the golden age, that first season. After that, it was all downhill. When Bill Murray came on, he just did, like, that stupid fucking nerd sketch over and over, and that sketch sucked. And that's, like, all he did on that show. What else did he do? Nothing.
He tried to do Weekend Update for a while.
Oh. And that was a bummer. Yeah,
and
that
then,
wasn't good.
His brother Joel Murray tried to do it for a while, and that was a bummer.
Yeah.
He did, like, a lounge singer sketch. Like, a lot of his stuff kind of seemed like Jimmy Fallon stuff. And, in fact, when Bill Murray was on – or, no, it was Jimmy Fallon was, like, on Oprah or something and getting interviewed, Bill Murray said that Jimmy Fallon was, like, his spiritual successor, and he hoped that he was a mentor to him, and Jimmy Fallon brushed him off. He's like, no, because you're not funny. Neither of them are that funny, but still, it was just funny that even Jimmy Fallon was like, nope, no thank you.
That's pretty all right. I respect Jimmy Fallon for that, although he is not funny one bit.
Nah, I don't think so either, bruh. It was rough. Like, Stripes, and what else was Bill Murray in? I like that I'm questioning his entire filmography. I know other shit he's been in, like Caddyshack and all that stuff.
Meatballs, but... which is not great.
Yeah, Meatballs, Stripes, these are like the same character. It's like, hey, I'm a slacker dude. I'm prematurely balding, but I got all this hair growing crazily. And ladies somehow really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
I don't know. Ghostbusters.
Also, in Caddyshack, he's doing like a goofy voice the entire time, like a baby goofy voice.
That's kind of a funny voice, though.
You like that?
Well, I haven't seen it since I was a little kid, but I liked it then.
Because you were a little kid.
Yeah.
And that shit's funny, little kids.
Yeah. Life Aquatic's good, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's done good stuff. Like, I like Life Aquatic. Really like Lost in Translation.
That movie's a bunch of turds.
Huh?
That movie's a bunch of turds, I feel.
Lost in Translation?
Yeah, so is Rushmore.
Really? Why do you think that?
Well, I might be... biased. I only watched it one time, but a girl I knew told me that I acted like the kid in Rushmore.
No, you don't.
Well, that's what she said. I don't know. So that probably him.
You might need to revisit that film because that kid is nothing like you. Like, he's extremely academic oriented.
Well, thank you, Mr. Frisbee. That's nice of you to say.
He's good looking. Real charmer. Like, everybody wants to have sex with him. No, I'm just kidding. Like, he's not into academics. He's into clubs. Like, he just wants to join all these fucking clubs. Like, French club and stuff. You're not in the French club.
I would hate to join the French club.
He does some cool clubs, too. But how many clubs are you in? How many clubs were you in school?
Well, I joined the choir one time because I knew that I could get out of social studies if I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined that. But that's it. That's the only time I did anything at all.
Then, yeah, you're not like this kid at all.
Good.
You might have gotten better grades than he did, actually, because the entire point of that movie is this kid's like a script writing savant. Like, he writes a play when he's really young, so he gets his grant to go to school, and his scholarship to go to school. It's really prestigious private school. And instead of like keeping his grades up, he ends up like failing most of his classes, or definitely fails Latin, but gets like low grades across the board.
Latin's very hard.
Yeah, it is. But he's wasting all his time like trying to be the president and member of all these different clubs on campus.
Well, that's the opposite of me. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of script writing savants, though, that's why I don't like Lost in Translation. Because, man, you can't even be bothered to write the last words of your script. How am I supposed to enjoy your movie?
Yeah, that's understandable. Like, I kind of waffled on that debate for a while, but I totally see where you're coming from. That's kind of shitty. He said the most perfect thing. Fuck that. Show, don't tell, I guess. But you could take a step back and be like, what he's saying isn't that important. It's the moment of saying goodbye to somebody that's mean. It doesn't really matter what you say. Like, there are times when I've said goodbye to people, and I don't remember what I said. But as I'm learning from our studio audience, I don't remember a lot of things.
That's
going to be – that's my learning experience from this entire show, is that I don't remember a fucking thing about my life.
I know what you said. One time when you said – when I was moving to California – you took me aside, and what you said to me, Mr. Frisbee, was this.
They used to call me Old Liquid Propellant Frisbee.
That does not sound like me.
And then you kissed me on the cheek, and we split.
I remember I grabbed you tight, really close, and I whispered that into your ear. But it came out as a yell, like Ernest Borgnine was drunk and yelling it or something.
That's funny. That is funny.
Jameson goes on to say, again, loved episode 168. Keep up the great work on your podcast, which, to be clear, is Pool Party Radio and not award-winning film Lost in Translation. Did that film win any awards?
Yeah, the award for most boring movie that I ever saw.
I forgot happened. That was a category.
Yep.
And the biggest stinker goes to Lost in Translation.
The biggest movie where Giovanni Ribisi should have played a bigger role because he's the best actor in a goddamn movie, but he's only in it for like 2 seconds, goes to this movie.
I like that film.
It's okay. It's all right.
P.S. When is Shelby Cope? I don't know this name. Shelby Cope? I know it's Shelby Colba, but this is Shelby Cobras.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. When is Shelby Cobras coming back on PPR? I don't know when he's coming back. We may have Shelley Colba on sometime soon, but who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
We might have Shelby Colba on, but we might only have people who actually like commit to Ghoul Summer come on.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah. What's Ilkhan doing for Ghoul Summer? Something or nothing?
Well, I think that Corey and Al and Eric are going to be celebrating Ghoul Summer. But I think that Shelby Culver is probably just going to be, fiddling around.
Around on his fiddle, playing fiddle for his metal band, Apocryphon.
Yeah, making promises he can't keep. Stuff like that. So instead of having Shelby Culver on, we'll probably have Greg Proops on. He seems to be a guy who's into celebrating Ghoul Summer.
Oh, Preg Goops?
Yep. And Preg Goops. JK, Shelby Cobra is a very nice man. He's a good guy. We'll have him on at some point. We like him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the only email that we had, because nobody sent us any emails. So get on that, audience.
We're so lonely.
We are. This is a really depressing Ghoul Summer without you, without your comments. What are you doing for Ghoul Summer? Don't leave us in the dark, even though that's what Ghoul Summer is all about, just sitting alone in the dark. Reach out at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And you can leave us iTunes reviews. Those are always awesome. We love reading those. Let Parker know what fuck style you request, because that's important. And you can also check us out on Stitcher. That's a thing that people use sometimes. It's very handy. And reviews are on there, too. You can also find us on Twitter, at Poolparty Radio, at Final Parker, at SawFan667. Those are the three Twitter handles that you need to know for all your Twittering needs. And check out our website, poolpartyradio.com, for all our archived episodes. Man, Parker, I don't know about you, but my iTunes is fucking up, and it won't actually download any new episodes anymore. I'm subscribed to stuff, but it won't download anything. So for 2 weeks, I thought everybody was on hiatus. And I just realized I could download all these pieces of shit manually, every fucking thing. That so sucks.
Maybe you got to reinstall.
I think so. So be careful of that too, folks.
I've been using the Podcast Addict app and to listen on my phone, and that works really well.
Nice. But yeah, if you're looking for like archived episodes and you can't seem to find them on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Stitcher, or whatever, yeah, they're on poolpartyradio.com. And
horse radish. Where do you keep the horse radish, Frisbee?
Where do you keep the what?
The horse radish.
It's in the fridge, dude.
Sorry,
is that guy drunk? He sounds drunk.
I think most of them are pretty drunk.
Why are they here?
They won't leave.
Okay. But yeah, those are all the ways to reach us. And check out our podcast pals. We just had Olympic Artichoke Dudes on here for our last episode talking about Ghoul Summer stuff. And they're talking about the TV show Tremors. Why wouldn't you want to listen to that? That's awesome. We sometimes talk about TV shows. In fact, we might be doing that soon, right?
Yeah.
Because Saved by the Bell is getting its own made-for-TV movie, like behind the scenes, loosely based on the Screech autobiography about his experience on SBTB. And we still have a season left to watch, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like half of a season, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We still haven't covered that last base of quality NBC teen television. So keep your ears open for that. That's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, check out our other podcast pals, too. You got those ill cons, you got those kissing contests, you got those Badland Girls, and you got those Rotten Rantings. And a lot of those podcasts are doing the Ghoul Summer thing. So see what they're doing for Ghoul Summer. Rotten Rantings is watching some creepy shit. Kissing Contest is doing something ghoulish, I'm sure, although it's kind of the norm over there, from what I understand.
They're very ghoulish. I think by the time this is up, if you go to junkfooddinner.com, there will be a list of all the like specific Ghoul Summer episodes that have happened. So that'll be up. It'll be like all the old Junk Food Dinner ones will be on the list. And if you're a podcast out there that has done a Ghoul Summer episode, let us know. We'll add it to the list. We'll keep it constantly updated. We'll update it next year. It'll be a big fun party.
Is it going to look like you should have it set out like those captions in those old like 70s and 80s Marvel comics where it's like a little block in the bottom corner when there's a reference made to some other comic that maybe readers haven't read yet? It's like Stan Lee here saying, check out like issue 167 of Hulk for more info on this, true believers. You could have that.
Yeah, I think we really need that for our podcasts as it is. Like, because whenever we mention fuck styles, we need Stan Lee to pop up and be like, for more info on fuck styles, check out, you know.
Episode 150. We're almost at 200 episodes, dude. That's did you
true.
Realize this?
I did realize. Yeah, 170. We'll be there soon. But yeah, but we also need Stan Lee to show up and, you know, be like, check out Ilcon episode 72 for more fuck style information.
Stan Lee. He was definitely not dying.
Not dying. Well, possibly dying. He might be dying.
He's old. He's 92.
For more information on being a ghoul, check out Kissing Contest number 52.
There you go.
Stuff like that. We definitely need annotations for all of this on these podcasts now.
Absolutely.
But I think that's it. I think that's it, Mr. Frisbee.
Oh, also our Facebook page.
Oh,
Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. You can be a fan of the show. You can like us. You can even seek us out. Be a real ghoul and become close friends with us, internet style.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all our pictures while you sit alone in the dark.
You can check out our bikini pics.
Our hot bikini pics.
From the time. From our vacations.
Yep. Or that time that my head was placed on top of Hawkeye's head in the Avengers lineup. And Shelley Cola was Black Widow. And Parker was Captain America.
I recall that.
That's an actual photo that happened.
I was just looking at that photo I made 100 years ago of that advertisement for a Frisbee, where a guy was catching a Frisbee wearing very short shorts that I photoshopped your head on. I really enjoyed that. I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, that's a very sexual photo. Very kinky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can get all that stuff at facebook.com.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, thank you, Mr. Frisbee. I would like to thank you for doing the show. I think everybody here would like to thank you.
Thank you again, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's creepy.
I like them. Hopefully they'll leave when the show is over. But until next time, this is Parker for the audience members and Jason Cumulus Frisbee.
Cumulus Frisbee.
Cumulus Frisbee.
Saying thanks for having fun.
I'll see you tomorrow, Frisbee.
Nope.
Where'd you find this?
They don't leave. They just sleep on these bleachers that we have set up. This is
I love them.
This is ridiculous.
It's good.
Impressed, Mr. Frisbee?
No.